The tying and possible winning runs are in scoring position with two out and Jack Clark coming up. Meanwhile, in Reading, we're sort of talking about walk him and pitch to that blank Van Slyke. That's what he just muttered in the dugout. Do I walk him and pitch to that so-and-so? He's not going to walk him. It is Jack Clark and Tom Niedenfuhr going head-to-head, and the ballgame on the line and the crowd on its feet. One way or another, what a way to end. And he hits one to deep left field, and that one is gone. And Lasorda got the answer to his rhetorical question. Something about, should I walk this guy and pitch to that so-and-so? Well, he didn't walk him.
That was the call from Vin Scully, and he said, should I pitch to that so-and-so? Well, he did, and he got burned, and that so-and-so joins me now, and that's Jack Clark, one of the great sluggers ever in Cardinals history, and it came with two outs and a three-run blast off of Tom Niedenfuhr, and it's the anniversary of that historic home run in Cardinals history. Jack, it's always great to hear your voice. Hopefully you're safe, you're healthy, and let's relive that famous moment in Cardinal history. But first of all, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great. I'm doing really great. I feel really good. I've been really making sure I've got all my any health issues or anything just medically, and just I feel really good. And then unbelievably, I'm in really good shape. You know, I don't have any problems, you know. So after the motorcycle accident, concussion and everything else and knee replacements and all that, besides a little high cholesterol, I'm really good shape. So I guess I'm gonna live for a little bit longer, man.
That's good news. It's good to hear your voice. We don't hear it enough here in St. Louis. Well, I'll get to the home run in just a moment. What are you up to these days? Where are you at? What's keeping you busy?
We're in Kirkwood, Missouri. I was out in California for about a year and a half in Carmel. And then my son-in-law got a job with the Padres. And so we moved back to help my daughter. He asked me, and I said, well, you got to take it. You've never been in the big leagues. And it was like the 2 days before spring training, they flew him up to Seattle for spring training games. And then they took him to San Diego for opening days. Left-handed pitcher with the Rockies, but the furthest he ever made it was AAA. He was on the 40-man roster at one time, Colin Young. Anyhow, so it was really good batting practice. Somebody gave him his name. He asked me because, you know, he's going to be away from his kids and his family. And I kind of told him, I said, you got to do it. You got to experience, see what it's like. And you've always wanted to be this as your shot. And he did. And so we went back to help out a little bit. And as soon as that was over, that we came right back to Missouri, and we're in Kirkwood, been here ever since, and looking for a house, to be honest with you. Me and my wife are going to look, we're looking here, but we're also looking in Columbia also, you know, split the difference between here and Kansas City. And there's some new construction, different building going on there that we like, and some builders. So we're looking around.
Gotcha. Jack, take me back to that moment in 1985, and Vin set it up. I'm sure you've seen it a million times, but he said, should I pitch to that so-and-so? Van Slyke is on deck. He decides to pitch to you. Were you surprised that he decided to pitch to you in that spot?
Not really. And the reason why is just all the years with the Giants and all the failure and, you know, the Dodgers winning and the years with the Giants, we were always last place, but that was, you know, you had Houston, the big red machine in that division, the Dodgers, and we just never could compete. And obviously coming up, I always wanted to be a Giant that competed and try to bring that championship to Candlestick Park in San Francisco since they moved out from New York. But, you know, the Dodgers were very successful and we weren't, and they had good weather and we had, you know, the weather in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah.
In summertime, it's wintertime, you know, so it just was bad and we weren't very good, you know, and so it was frustrating. But so that situation had come up a lot of times against a bad team. I don't necessarily they looked at me particularly, but it was just kind of like they were the Dodgers. Time of the sort, it would always be in the paper the next day. I went up to, you know, Hershiser, I went up to Bobby Welch or whoever and talked to him, and he's, you know, and he wanted them, which was me, you know, he wanted to come after me. And they, Don Sutton, they would climb the ladder and I would chase those pitches. I'd take my rips, but I never really connected in anything that did too much damage. It took Bert Hooten deep a few times, a couple bombs, and but we still lost the games, you know. So it just it was irrelevant that I got a hit or hit a home run. So even though I was with Cardinal, I still had a lot of deep anger against the Dodgers and hatred and bitterness, you know, from them beating us all the time, and just wanted to even that score. Was, you know, glad to be in that situation. But that had come up so many times before. I knew what Lasorda was going to do because it was the same type of thing he had always done. Come after me, get ahead of me, try to climb the ladder, get me to, because he had struck, I had struck out before that on pitches that were up in the zone. They did the same type of thing again. So I think they thought they could get away with that again because they had done it so many other times. And, but I was swinging the bat as well as I ever have in that series against the Dodgers. And I felt really good. I didn't feel like anybody could get me out. I didn't feel like any one of their pitchers could get me out. I didn't feel like Fernando Valenzuela with a screwball or Hershiser with a sinker or anybody else who threw hard or didn't could get me out then, because I was taking that screwball to right field for a rip. I just felt I was very dangerous, and our team was very dangerous at that time, and hungry and better than them, I believe, too. So I was glad to be in that situation. But when I was on deck, I really only was thinking about my guru hitting coach in San Francisco whenever I was in a slump or whatever. But he always told me, just be ready for fastballs, which was Hank Sauer, be ready for fastballs, anticipate a strike. And he used to tell not just me, he used to tell all of us in instructional league or wherever we were at, spring training, you know, be ready for fastballs, anticipate strikes, get your three good swings, you know. Once you do that, if you get your three good swings, you've had a good at-bat, and then just battle from there, you know. But do not get cheated. And that was kind of the Giant way. The Giant way was not like the Dodgers. It wasn't about pitching and defense. It was more about trying to maze and Jim Rayhart and Philippe Alou and McCovey and Bonds, you know, score more runs. Score more runs than the other team, you know, outscore them. And that was – and so they didn't work in a lot of the little details like stealing bases and those type of things. The Mays obviously stole bases and Bonds and those guys. I'm talking about Bobby Bonds. But, you know, the other guys, you were kind of on your own. So I just thought about – I was very relaxed on deck because I was feeling good about our team, about – I always felt good every day coming to the ballpark with Jack Buck. I always felt very good with Red Shandies, with Whitey Herzog, owned by Anheuser-Busch and Gussie Bush. I named my dog Gussie. And I did. I got a Beagle Basset. His name's Gus, so I named him after Gussie. Because it was just a family, and they brought me from last place to first place, and I was having so much fun playing. Even from way back in spring training when I was a right fielder and Whitey brought me to first base. And then he said, if you don't like it, I'll get you out of there. And I told him I didn't like it. He says, oh, you look like a natural. I stayed a couple more weeks. I stayed a couple more weeks. If you don't like it, let me know. And I told him, man, I don't like it. I want to go back to the outfield. He said, well, I really don't want to platoon three guys. Tell me what, if you stay there, you look like a natural over there. I know you've played third base with the Giants a little bit. If you don't like it by the All-Star break, I'll get you out of there. Well, I ended up loving it because I had such a first-row seat, if you want to call it that, with Tommy Herr and obviously Ozzy every day and Terry Pendleton, which was like Ozzy at third. And then you had Coleman in left, Willie in center, McGee, and then Van Slyke and Landrum platooning out in right field. And it was nice. We went to spring training, and I got to spring training when I first got there. And I know this doesn't have anything to do with the 85, but it kind of does. Is, you know, the first thing I heard when I got there is like, well, we were going to come in last place, the St. Louis Cardinals, and Whitey was going to be the first manager fired. And it pissed me off. You know, I was like, oh, really? You know, oh, the big bad Mets are going to just dominate, you know, and everything else. Okay. Well, I remember Ozzy coming to me because I hadn't seen Vince Coleman, and said, Jack, wait till you see this guy. And when he got there, that song, The Heat Is On, it was on. Because then things that I had learned with the Giants and playing for under Joe Morgan, who came from the Big Red Machine, things that he taught me. By the way, I know he was a very good friend of mine, and I was really sad to hear about his passing the other day. I love Joe. And he was the most important and influential person in my baseball life and career coming from San Francisco. We played there. He helped me. He showed me what it was like, the biggest compliment he ever gave me, even years later when I was doing some radio. And I did his radio show a number of times. He says, the best compliment, Jack, I could give you is you could have been on the Big Red Machine.
Wow.
You know, because he always said everybody should have an opportunity to play with Sparky Anderson for Pete Rose. That was him saying that. And the things he taught me, what he would do with Johnny Bench and Tony Perez and give them signs, was really helped me. And that home run I ended up hitting against the Dodgers was with a Joe Morgan bat. That M253 is Joe Morgan's ball. That M is for Morgan, 253. That's his personal bat, 34-32. I'm 6'3". He's 5'9", 5'10". But the way I hit close, and I started using that bat, and it was like a piece of pipe. And I used that for the rest of my career. So George will forever live, even in Cardinal memories. All you got to do is go to the Cardinal Hall of Fame, and you'll see that bat in there, that M253. We'll just, you know, say a little prayer for, you know, Joe Morgan up in heaven. And that wouldn't be there without what he had taught me also about hitting and about the game. And, I mean, the stupid little things.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he hit off a tee, he would put the tee way out in front of him. And he put it so far out there, I was like, as little as you are, how do you reach that? But the way he would do it, then he taught me that. I became a guy with the Cardinals that would walk 100-plus times and, you know, was ready for certain pitches that I had learned from Hank Sauer. Became that slugger that I think the Giants always was hoping that I was going to be. The Giants were mad at me because I had knee surgery in 84, and to be honest with you, they wanted me to come back like the last 2 weeks, and I didn't because we were in last place, and I wanted to just heal it up. But I guess they felt like that was unacceptable. They traded me. Thank goodness Whitey Herzog brought me over here and traded a few guys for me, and that was a blessing in disguise. So,
sure.
To be honest with you, in that short period when I'm on deck, I'm thinking about Hank Sauer. I'm feeling comfortable. I got my favorite bat in my hand from my teammate that taught me the most about, and I was so relaxed, but I wanted a piece of whoever. I didn't trust Lasorda. I thought maybe Socha might, with first base open, might stand up and then try to sit back down and get a quick strike or just try to get in my head or something. I knew I didn't have to hit a home run to get us the lead. I had speed on the bases with Willie and Ozzy. I know they were going to score on a single. So I just had to just keep my same approach, which is be ready for fastballs, anticipate strikes. I don't know what they're going to do, but it doesn't matter. It's Tommy Lasorda against me. It's the Dodgers against all those years with the Giants, against Tommy Lasorda against Whitey Herzog. It's our speed against them. It's two teams with lots of history, with two great announcers in Vin Scully and the great Jack Buck. And I'm really blessed to be here, but I play for this team and this city, and we'll find a way to get it done. I wasn't trying to hit a home run. I was just going to take a good hard swing and get a base hit, hopefully, and get the game, give us a one run lead. But I just missed that ball and hit the bottom side of the baseball and hit one of my furthest home runs, was ones where, you know, it's just gone right off the bat, you know. So
what did you say? I'll wrap it up with this. When you were trotting down the first baseline, I've always wanted to ask you this. What did you say to Whitey in the bench when you hit that home run?
Well, I looked at him and I said, take that, bitches, you know, because I knew it was gone. So excuse my language, everybody is listening, but that's what I said to him, because people asked me, and I took my time, and I Nick Lave, at first, I gave him a high five, a low five, and hit first base. And then I kind of took my time, and I ran out to where the second baseman was and had to cut it in and hit second base. Then I kind of went to the shortstop area and took a slow turn there, because I knew the Dodgers and the Sorter were right in front of me then, and or I was right in front of them. So I hit Hal Lanier, gave him a low five, and took my time. They kind of made a big turn, kind of went semi toward their dugout a little bit. I never really did that before, and just took my time. And I was kind of shocked to see all the teammates, especially Vince Coleman, who was limping out the home
yes.
plate, to see all the teammates at home plate, because that was, to me, more of a how if you hit a walk-off home run, that we still had a game. We hadn't won the game yet, so I wasn't expecting that, but I was like, well, that's kind of cool. But my good friend Danny Cox was, you know, he was pretty much bigger than everybody else, you know, but he was kind of towering over all the other guys. And I kind of reached up and two-handed him, and everybody was excited, you know. And it's nice to be excited, but it's not over with yet. You know, you still had to get him out, which we believed we were going to. We had the people to and the momentum. But you just never know. They've got the last of the bat. But it was, you know, one of the best things, which I didn't see from the beginning, I saw later, was Guerrero in left field throwing his glove down.
You absolutely.
Know, when you get another guy on another team to throw his glove down, you've stung them pretty hard. That's pretty deep, and not just into their clubhouse or to their dugout, but that's pretty much deep into their history and their season and everything else. And people are not going to be happy with each other after that. So I got a lot of payback on one swing of the bats. First pitch, fastball. I didn't miss it. And just thank God it went out of the ballpark, gave us a couple more runs, tied the game, gave us a couple run lead. And Whitey's always said, you know, the best play in baseball for him was a three-run home run. So that was from my skipper and good friend and Cardinal Nation, the great fans of St. Louis. And I really thank them for getting me out of Candlestick Park and giving me the opportunity to play baseball like everybody else does in the summertime and sweat and get loose in the humidity and not have a big foul territory and not have wind and elements and hot dog wrappers blown in front of your face and dirt and dust while you're trying to hit Nolan Ryan, you know.
I understand. Hey, Jack, it's awesome to hear your voice. It's great to have you back in town, and hopefully sooner rather than later, let's get you back down to the ballpark and let's catch up in person very, very soon.
That'd be great, Dan. Take care. Have a great holiday. Stay safe, everybody, with the virus, and you and your family, Dan, stay very safe, and I'll look forward to seeing everybody soon.
You got it. That's the great Jack Clark.